Well, as we prayed at the beginning, I want you to keep on praying for Brother Phil as he has that surgery tomorrow. I also want you to be praying for Miss Margaret Tipton. She'll have surgery over at Vanderbilt on Wednesday. They head over, I believe Tim said, on Tuesday. Have some testing then on Tuesday and be ready for that. So the Bible says very clearly we're praying one for another. And so I want you to be praying for these, that the Lord would have his way and that he would strengthen them through these through these issues. And so I want you to be praying, asking the Lord to bless Brother Phil and then Miss Margaret as Wednesday comes on. So let's pray one for another. Well, I'm speaking to people tonight who oftentimes we wrestle with our faith. And I get asked the question many, many times, if not this exact wording close to it, why are these bad things happening to folks that are trying to do right? I've preached on topics similar to this, as I will tonight. But it's sometimes hard for all of us to understand, if God is such a good God, and he is, why am I going through this ordeal? And to be honest with you, it does perplex us. It troubles us. It makes us wonder why that is. How could God not what I'm currently bound by? Far too long, many people have been plagued with sickness and it's reigned over your body. Why is that? I think there's a lot of folks that are close to throwing in the towel, as it were, and just saying, forget it. I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 22, and I'll give you the title at the end of the message, but Genesis 22, and we're going to look at a familiar passage with Abraham offering Isaac. Genesis, first book of the Bible, chapter 22, verse number 2. In verse 2 of Genesis 22, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Look down at verse number 6 if you would. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they both went on, both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son, and the angel of the Lord called. I'll stop right there. We know the rest of the story. We know that's part of the story. I'm thinking about this, though, as, again, I'll give you the title at the end, but here's Abraham, the premier man of faith of the day. Abraham was a friend of God, the Bible says. Abraham walked with God. Abraham pleased God. Abraham was listed, as we mentioned this morning, in Hebrews chapter 11, that great hall of fame of faith. Abraham was the man in our modern vernacular. And he is now going through the most difficult struggle of his whole life. It seems as if God's going to use him to take the life of his son. Abraham was called upon by God to do some of the hardest things. You remember he left his home. We didn't know where he was going. I'm going to a place where I don't know. I'm just heading out. He rescues his nephew Lot in one dangerous section there of Scripture. But now he's carrying a load that is bound to about crush him. I mentioned this morning Lee Robertson, a great hero of mine, pastor at Highland Park Baptist Church. He was preaching in Alabama in 1946, and he got the call to come home that their little girl Joy was very, very sick, and she, in fact, went to heaven from that sickness that he got called about. And so he and his wife were so troubled because this was their daughter. He was the preacher of the area. That pastor back in the day had 5,000 in that student body, and then that many and more in the church as well. And he was a great man of faith, and here he was losing one of the dearest things to his soul. They, through tears and through great turmoil, they decided that they would name a piece of property that they had recently bought to use as a camp. They would name it after Joy, and for years and years, Camp Joy was operated in Harrison, Tennessee, with the tagline, where boys and girls begin to live. Tens of thousands of young people over the years had went there all free of charge, hearing about the Savior, and God had brought the Robertsons down to such a low point. I'm saying that because it doesn't matter if you're a Lee Robertson, it doesn't matter if you're a great pastor, it doesn't matter if you're Abraham, the great man of faith, it doesn't matter if you're somebody that nobody's ever heard of. I'm saying none of us are exempt from problems. Life had brought Abraham to this place, I believe probably a breaking point. And I'm asking this evening, is that where you are? God, I've served you all these years. Why is it that I'm having to go through this struggle? God, why is it that I'm facing all the difficulties that I'm facing? I've tried to do right, and I've tried to raise my family correctly, and I've tried to be in your will. I've tried to be in church, and I've tried to do this, and I've served at this church, and I've done the other. Why is it that I'm going through this struggle? Because Abraham, I would imagine, was asking himself the same question. Lord, there's none of us can help from asking that. Lord, I've tried to do right. I've tried to do what you wanted me to do. I haven't always been perfect, but I've tried to be what you wanted me to be. And I imagine the problems, or the questions rather, were plaguing his mind. I want to give you a few points this evening and trust it'll be a blessing to you. Number one, I'm looking at Abraham. And if you'd look back in verse number four, this was a long journey. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes. For 3 days and three nights, Abraham's having to walk up toward that mountain where he knows at that point he thinks he's going to sacrifice his son. Can you imagine how that would mess with your mind? It's a long journey to know what you're going to do, and your son doesn't even know, because later he asks the questions about it. How does your mind not explode with that weight that's on there to know what you believe God's called you to do? But it seems like if you were faithful to God, why wouldn't God bless you? I've thought about this oftentimes. What doesn't make you wore out in an hour will make you wore out in 8 hours. And what doesn't bring you down to your last bit of hope in 8 hours will bring you down in 2 days. If we start out here and your car's back there by the bus barn, and we said, I want you to run as hard as you can, you might say, preacher, hard as I can ain't that hard. I might make it back to 2 pews behind me. But if you were pretty stout and you were pretty healthy and you said, I can do it from here to the doors, you'd make a great stride. From out to the next set of doors, you'd also do pretty good. You'd navigate those steps, then you'd get down a couple car lengths. Unless you're just a wonderful athlete, by the time you got out to the first or second row of traffic or to the car spaces, you'd be thinking, whew, that's further out here than I thought. He said, oh, no, I can do that. Well, how about go in one of the churches down in Johnson City, just run down there and come back and let us know how stout you still are. I'm saying what we can do for a short period of time with no problem will get us in the long run. And there's good people that are sitting here tonight, and you've been having health issues, some of you for years. And I can't imagine that you're not like Abraham must have been when those three long days of journey would have had to have messed with his mind. I say not only was it a long journey, but I look at verse number 7, if you will. Good people are going to question you. Verse number 7, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, Father, Dad, he said, Dad, I've seen this. I see you got this, and I see you got the other. I see you got the wood. I see you got the fire. Behold, all of these things, but where's the lamb? I see not only is it a long journey, but you've got people questioning you. Sometimes we put on a brave face, don't we? This is going to be all right. But then we have people right in our inner circle saying, I don't understand why all this happened to you.
I don't understand. I don't understand. And then their doubts start plaguing you with doubts, and you get questioned about it. And you go to church and people ask, why is this happening? Why would God allow this? You talk to people that you work with. Well, I don't understand why all this is happening to you. And I'm saying it's one thing for you to continue when you've got a cheering section. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. It's a whole nother thing to continue on when somebody says, I don't think you can make it. Thank you. Thank you, cheering section. You remember Job's wife? How many of you like to have a wife like that? Why don't you just curse God and die? And I'm sure Job looked back at her and says, boy, oh boy, oh boy, better or worse? I didn't know it was going to be so much of the worse. And maybe she did it out of pity, just get him out of his misery. But I'm saying tonight that it's one thing when you're struggling under the weight of something, and Abraham was struggling under the weight of what he was going to have to do when he got to Moriah, when he was have to get up there. He was struggling under that. It's one thing when you psych yourself up, so to speak, you encourage yourself, I'm just going to plow through. But then other people start saying, what's happening here? Where's the lamb? I don't understand this, Dad. When you can find the long, wearisome journey, plus people question you, you want to give in. But I want you to think one more thing about Abraham as he's making his way up to this. Not only do we see the long journey and people questioning, but I believe he would have gotten to a place where he realized all hope was dashed. Let me take you back real quickly. Genesis chapter 12, verse number 3, the Bible says, God told Abraham, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. In Genesis 12, 16, thy seed shall be as the dust of the ground. And Abraham knew that Isaac was that promised seed. He knew the mistake he had made with Ishmael. He knew that when he'd taken things into his own hand, matters into his own hand, he knew all of that. But he knew this was the boy. And I'm saying that he not only had a long journey, but he had every hope was dashed. It may be that you tonight, you see the last opportunity for God to do something in your life. It looks like you just passed it. We've all been driving before on the interstate, and sometimes the exits are long distance between the two of them. And you realize when your navigator didn't tell you just in time, when she said, oh yeah, there's the exit. I've got my own stories that I've let her down too. So it just happens to be that I'm the one that gets to preach tonight. So you get the other stories from her later. And we'll go past exit. And sometimes, boy, it messes up your time of arrival if you're close on, because the next exit might be 5 miles away. And so that's 5 miles down and 5 miles back just to get back to where you were. And if you're running close on time, I like to apply that to our lives. Sometimes our hopes have been all on one thing, one opportunity, and then that opportunity expires. We got great hope and great prospect out of that one option. But when that option got taken off the table, we didn't have anything else. And I'm thinking this evening, as Abraham is looking at Isaac, he knows he's the promised one of God. He knows that this is the boy. He knows that in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. He knows that your seed shall be as the sand of the seashore. He knows all these things. He knows that Messiah's got to come through through his lineage. He knows all these things. But then when God has sent him up to the mountain and God has sent him up to the top of there to take Isaac, his only son, he's got to be to a place where all hope is dashed. And I believe I've met some Christians like that. Not because they're wicked people, not because they're bad, but their hopes have been taken up and then smashed. They got hopeful about something else and then lost it. Sometimes when we talk to folks that are trying to bring little ones into their family, and it just doesn't work time after time. My friend, sometimes we get to a place where it just seems like all hope is lost. And so I see Abraham's got a long, long journey. 3 days when you know that you're going to have what you're going to have to do when you get there, that's a long time to mull that around. And not only was it a long journey, but people were questioning you. And then it appears that all hope is dashed. You watch the last ray of hope dim to the point you can't see it. Maybe this trial has been so long that you can't see how you're getting out of it. As I bring all those things to you, and my heart goes out to many people tonight who have just labored and labored and labored and labored with this plague that just won't seem to leave you. I think about some of the people in our church that have had cancer and they've been battling it. Some have been told you won't get rid of it. We'll just hopefully keep some things at bay. I want to give some help tonight if I could and just give a couple of applications from the life of Abraham right in this passage. If you are used to taking notes and you want to write these things down, could I try to be a little help to you tonight? Look back in verse number 10. Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And I come to this story with fear sometimes because I don't even understand all of it. But he, by faith, was going to continue on with what God had told him to do. You say, John, don't you think that was wrong? What about this? God worked it all out in the end, and I'm just going to have to put it to the fact that his ways are higher than my ways, and I don't understand all that God's got going on. I'm just going to preach it as the scripture says it. Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. I'd like to give you this one point of application tonight. Continue to act in faith. If you're that one that this physical issue is just plaguing you and just won't seem to leave you alone, it seems like one doctor points you to another doctor, points you to another doctor, but the last doctor won't give you any different prognosis than the first doctor did, and it seems like what you're facing right now will be the end of you. I'm telling you this, if you'd be like Abraham was, if you just continue to act in faith, because Abraham acted upon the last orders that God had given him, and God said, I want you to take the boy up to the mountain. And what God has given you in your life, in your family, is for you to keep on living for the Lord, keep on serving Him, keep on being together with your family. Sometimes people get on such rocky ground with their family, it seems like this marriage or this family won't last. Can I tell you this? Can I challenge you this? To continue on with the last orders you got from headquarters. When you're weary in the way and it looks like everything is troubled and you don't know how you're going to get out of this, that's not the time to start chucking the orders that God gave you when He started you out on this journey. First of all, Abraham continued to act in faith. Secondly, let me give you this one. Would you continue to listen to directives or directions from heaven? Look in verse number 11. This is when the story gets good. After verse number 10, the Bible says that Abraham stretched forth his hand, but then in verse number 11, Abraham didn't stop listening. I told you, first of all, make sure you continue to act in faith. But number two, don't get so bullheaded that you quit listening to God. Verse number 11 says, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, I'm saying this evening that not only should you continue as the Lord has told you, continue. Listen, my friend, God, the Bible says in His Word, there gives no discharge from this war. We are supposed to stay engaged in the battle for the Lord until God takes us on. So my friend, in the heartaches, in the difficulties, in the bad diagnosis, when they can't give you hope, when they can't give you directions, I'm asking you by faith to just continue on as God has last ordered you to be faithful. But then number two, keep on listening. Don't get so hard-hearted, hard-headed that you don't keep listening to the Lord, because number two, listen to directives from heaven. Can't you imagine how Abraham must have joyed when he lifted that knife and from an angel in heaven said, Abraham, what was that? Did you want me to stop, God? Never were sweeter words heard by human ears than when Abraham said or heard that God had another plan. I'd love to tell you, each and every one of you, I'd love to tell people that I get to counsel with throughout the week that God's going to give great deliverance from the problem you're in. But truthfully, as a pastor, I can't say that, because the deliverance that you get or that I get from the problems that I currently have or you currently have, the deliverance we get might be heaven. But I can tell you this, until the Lord takes you on, keep a listening ear open for what God wants you to do. As Abraham was there, ready to do what God wanted, he was still listening for what God had to say. Number three, the last one's this, in verse number 13, be ready when God gives the orders. Be ready when God provides. Verse number 13, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold him, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. I say, thirdly, be ready when God provides. It must have been a beautiful sight if we could have seen from heaven. It must have been a wonderful time when God was directing the things of that day, because he knows he's bringing up Abraham with Isaac and the wood and the fire, everything on this side of the mountain. But praise God, on the other side of the mountain, God had a ram that he was directing at the same time. And God must have been directing, holy traffic director in heaven, to say, Abraham doesn't know yet what I'm going to do, but I'm going to provide a lamb when he gets up there. I want to see how faithful he is. And my friend, I want us to stand in faith, and I want us to believe the Lord will come through for us. And not only should we keep listening to the Lord, but we ought to be thanking the Lord when he provides. You think there wasn't a prayer, praise, and worship meeting going on up on top of that mountain when Abraham turned and looked at that ram caught in the thicket? He bet, I'm sure he had a Holy Ghost shouting time, I'm sure, because he was so glad that the Lord provided. I would love to tell every person that's distraught with a lifelong illness that God's going to provide healing. And I meant on this earth, I'd be writing spiritual checks that might not get cashed. But what I can is, the Lord has not left you lonely. And as we look at this evening, we realize that God had provided all that Abraham needed. But Abraham also had all he needed because he knew God even when he didn't know God's plan. So I told you at the beginning, I'd give you the end of the message at the end. And that is this, that knowing God is more important than knowing why. Amen. You think Abraham couldn't have asked God, why would you do such a thing? He certainly could. But his knowledge of God overrode his need to know why. And my friend, I'd love to tell everybody I talk to why they're going through some bad things. Why, if they have lived their life in a seemingly pleasing way to the Lord, why are they having these issues? I don't know why some of the sweetest Christians I know have some of the worst problems that I know. But whether they would articulate it in the way that I just did now or not, I do believe those sweet Christians have figured out knowing God is more important than knowing why. If you're going to demand a why from God, he's not obligated to give you an answer. And all you'll run the risk of doing is getting yourself in an ugly way. We know people that are in a bad way tonight, don't we? Sometimes that happens when they demand what God's not obligated to give. God's not obligated to tell me why. I don't think it's wrong to ask him why. You remember that his son, Jesus Christ, asked him why my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I don't think it's wrong to ask. But you can't hold God ransom for him not giving you the why. So tonight, knowing God is more important than knowing why. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, I pray that the people know from a heart that I give this is heavy because some of the people that I dearly love are facing some of the worst problems that they could face. But I pray as I've tried to deliver my soul tonight, dear Lord, that you would work in them and you would show them and you would show all of us that knowing you is more important than knowing why something's happening. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I just like to, if you're not going through something right now, please store this up a little bit, I guess, so that you might be able to face the problems that could come your way. I may be the next person that needs this message. Something could be starting in my body, who knows, that will plague me till my dying day. But I hope that I have the strength to continue to believe what I just preached. You pray for me in that. And if you're here tonight and there's something that is plaguing you, and as far as you know, it may be there till you're done, would you just know that as God was there for Abraham, would you just know that knowing him makes all the difference? And it's much more important than knowing why you're going through this problem. Father, bless us now is our prayer. We'll thank you for what you do and thank you for who you do it in us, dear Lord. With blessings upon us, we pray and ask you to work in Jesus' name. Would you stand together as the ladies begin to play? If God's spoken to your heart tonight, I invite you to come. Maybe there's something going on in you or the life of a loved one that you're really just going to have to trust God by faith and say, Lord, I don't understand. I don't know why. But knowing you is going to have to be good enough. Lord, I'm just willing to trust you through these issues that I don't understand why they're going on. This altar is open for you tonight. Would you please not be in a hurry? If God's moving on your heart to come and an altar, you say, do I have to come to an altar? You don't, but some of the best decisions I've ever made have been made at an altar. It helps me solidify something that's going on. The altar's open for you tonight. And just promise the Lord as you come, my advice anyways, Lord, I'm going to trust you. Knowing you is more important than knowing why. As these pray, would you come and join them? As they continue to play, here's the rest. If you're here and you're not saved, you're not sure that you're saved, I'm going to have Brother Kyle come and stand right here in front of the pulpit, and maybe you need somebody just to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure you're saved. If you're not 100% certain that you're on your way to heaven, we didn't come up with this, but the Word of God shows you. Would you slip out from your seat and let him, or if you're a lady, he'd have a lady deal with you, show you how you can be sure you're on your way to heaven tonight. Maybe there's some other spiritual need. Maybe you're saved, but you've never been baptized. You like to get ready to do that. Oh, praise the Lord. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. You'd like to come present yourself for membership. Whatever you need, as they play one more verse, would you be sensitive to the Holy Ghost of God? Thank you so much. You may look this way. And it's been a joy to be in God's house all day today. And we do have some exciting stuff going on over there. If you can come and stay for a little while and have some fun, wonderful. If you need to slip on, we certainly understand that. But here's how it will go. If you're on the yellow team, Brother Dan's team, he is out in the lobby and has got his favorite candy bar. So all the teachers, workers, students, and members of that class, just meet Brother Dan out there and he's got that for you. And if you try to rub it in on Daniel a little bit, because he'd insinuate today that he'd be winning. And so Dan was going to quote the verse, "Pride goeth before destruction." But make sure you stop by there if you're on the yellow team. And then we are heading over to the Family Life Center. And do we have any instructions that need over there? Yep, come on up.
Well, please no one rub it in too much. It's all right. But as you go, if you have a car and you've not registered yet for the race, and you're listening to me thinking, oh yeah, I didn't do that yet, and your car is maybe sitting out in your car, you've got it right there with you, grab that real quick. And before I dismiss everybody else, if you've got one or it's out there somewhere and you need to bring it over there, you can go right now and make your way over to the Family Life Center, because they need to get that into the mix so that they can put the bracket together and the judges can begin judging on that. So if you've got your car and you've not registered yet and you don't mind to make your way over to the Family Life Center, go ahead and do that while I'm talking right now, and that will help them to get everything in place. All right, good. So hopefully you're moving at this point. Now, as you go tonight, go over to the Family Life Center. You'll come in, and at the doorway of the kitchen, the double doors of the kitchen, there's a bunch of concessions and things. You just go by there and get some nacho cheese and chips and different things that you can get. But about 7:40, the races will begin, and then we're going to try to keep them moving right along, so that gives us just a few minutes to get everybody over there and everything sorted out. So 7:40, the first race will begin, and you'll be over there at that point, and Brother Bobby Brown will be giving the instructions over there, and he'll tell you when to get your car and bring it up, if that would be, if you're involved in that. But if you're not, there's a bunch of tables sitting on one half of the Family Life Center. You just sit down and enjoy the night, and just to spend some time fellowshipping together. Everybody's welcome over there. You don't have to be taking part in the race, but you've got about 13 minutes until that first race begins, and that way we'll be able to get everything situated. And so thank you so much for coming tonight, and I don't know if Pastor prayed, I assume he did at the end, so you're dismissed.